Hey guys. Well, we're on lesson number three, and today we're going to talk about two becoming one. We've already talked about why we have counseling. We've already talked about how important it is that we prepare and we establish some very realistic expectations about marriage. And so now we're on lesson number three, and it's entitled Two Becoming One. Well, where do we get that? So let's begin with a little introduction, a little background, and then we'll dig into this. You know what? Before we do, let's have prayer. Father, bless our time as we study this and as these two prepare for marriage. Father, I pray that you will guide and direct and give victory and a wonderful, happy, joyous life together as they become husband and wife in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God created each of us uniquely with a specific purpose in this life, and He is in control and aware of every aspect of our life. The families we were born into, the culture we're raised in, even the experiences we've been through are all a part of God's plan for us. He knew all about this before it ever happened. Look at this verse in Psalm 139, verse 16. The psalmist said, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God knew everything about us. He is in control. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who was in control of all the different aspects of our life, everything that happens. The path we have been on since birth is what makes us who we are today. And who we are today, that's the person that we're bringing to the table when we consider marriage. It's important that all aspects of our life are considered when we think about what our marriage is going to look like. And you'll remember last time, I told you to try and answer individually, what does marriage look like to you? You know, it's quite possible that the married life you enter into may look nothing like the life that you've actually been living up until now. Well, why is this so important? Well, it's important because of the transformation that takes place when a man and a woman are joined in marriage. God described this transformation when He created marriage with Adam and Eve. Look at these verses found in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and He brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Now notice this next phrase. And the two are united into one. The transformation that we're talking about, it's that process of two people becoming as one person, the blending of two lives into one harmonious life. Now, this process can be difficult at times. That's why it is really important that we know the person we're going to marry and that God has chosen this person for us. Consider the story of Abraham as he seeks a bride for his son Isaac. By the way, these verses are found in Genesis chapter 24. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord God of heaven and earth that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who's willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from? No, Abraham responded. Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she's unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there. And that's found in Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. There were four things that Abraham believed was important in getting the correct woman for Isaac. Let's take a look at these four things and see what we can learn from them. First of all, spiritual belief was important. He said, you will not allow my son. Promise me that you're not going to allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Abraham didn't want his son to marry one of these local women. Why? Because they did not worship or follow the same God that Abraham and Isaac worshiped, the true God of heaven. The spiritual unity of the man and woman is vital to the success of a biblical marriage. Both man and woman must be believers and followers of Jesus Christ, or the marriage will eventually falter. Both must trust the truth of the Bible as the guidebook for their life. A second thing to consider is culture. Notice what Abraham said. Go instead to my homeland and to my relatives. Interesting. Abraham wanted him to go back to his homeland around his relatives. So why was this so important? Why was it important that the culture and the way Isaac was raised be brought into consideration? Because it has a huge impact on the marriage. In our world today, culture has a big impact on how we live, how we are raised, where we grew up, the kind of people we grew up around, all have an impact on what our life looks like. Some good, some not so good. These things must be discussed before marriage to make sure both parties fully understand where they're coming from and how they're going to merge their different cultures into one unique life for themselves. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that both people have to come from the same exact culture. However, it should be considered and at least discussed. A third thing that I find in this story that was important to Abraham was God's will, what God wanted. He said, God will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. Abraham was trusting God to provide the right person. When we enter marriage, we must be convinced that our mate is the person God has chosen for us. This will help us during difficult times as we remember this is God's plan for our life and know that God's going to help us. So God's will is extremely important. We've got to want what God wants, not just what we want. And then a fourth thing I find in this account of Abraham finding a bride for Isaac is there must be a willingness to be married. Abraham told his servant, if she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. Abraham said that if the woman would not willingly come, then the servant was no longer responsible to find a wife. Both man and woman must come into the marriage willingly, knowing it's the right thing to do. It's better not to be married than to marry the wrong person. So, with these four principles in mind, let's consider the following questions that will help us to see what this transformation of becoming one is going to actually look like and why these things are important. So question number one, why do we want to get married? You know, when two people become one, a lot of change is going to take place. So you got to consider, why do you really want to get married? Marriage is one of the most important and impactful commitments we will ever make. It will require personal sacrifice, hard work, and the realization that our life will be changed forever. With that in mind, why do we want to get married? The answer to this question will become an anchor that we will cling to when our marriage goes through stormy waters. For that reason, the answer better be a real good one. We must want what married life is. In order to know if we want something or not, we've got to clearly understand what's involved. That's why we're going through these lessons. We must be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called us to be married to the person we're about to commit ourselves to. We must know it's God's will and that we're doing what God has told us to do and not just what we want to do. Question number two, what do we expect to get from marriage that we don't already have? Why is getting married so important to us? What is it that we can only have by being married? Let's consider two very common answers to these questions. First, a deeper and more intimate physical relationship is an obvious addition when we're married. God says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Hebrews 13:4. Physical intimacy or sex is blessed and designed by God to be a wonderful part of marriage. We will spend an entire lesson learning what God says about this later. However, we need to understand this is a reason to get married. A second reason some people get married is to share the financial burden of life with their spouse. And there's nothing wrong with this reason either. However, while both of these are good reasons, they're not enough to sustain a marriage. The excitement of the physical relationship will change. And eventually it will become work. And money will not buy happiness, no matter how much we have. So once again, we come back to the truth. We must want what married life is and know it's God's plan for our life. And that's what we expect to get by being married. Number three, how do we view the role of the husband and wife in marriage? Now, quite often, this is influenced by how we grew up and what our home was like. The culture around us can also have an impact on how we view the roles of husband and wife. While the Bible will instruct us what the role of each should be, how we view these two roles right now is really important. The differences will have to be addressed with the truths in the Bible so that we're all on the same page before we get married, so that once we do get married, we have the proper expectation of the role of the husband and the role of the wife. Question number four, how will we make decisions? Well, the best thing to do is consider how you make decisions now in your relationship. Does one person make all the decisions, or is it a joint effort? Do you discuss things? And that's how it really ought to be. But you need to talk about that. A marriage is a partnership. It's not a dictatorship. Number five, how many children do you want to have? Many couples will go months or even years into their marriage and never even talk about their desire for children. Children are a part of married life when God chooses to give them. We need to make sure we've discussed our thoughts about having children prior to getting married and make sure we're both on the same page. For example, what if one partner is unable to have children and the other has always wanted a big family? That could present a real problem. And this is just one example as to why this should be discussed before committing to marriage. Question number six, how will we raise our children, if God seems fit to give them to us, relative to training, discipline, church, school, etc.? The Bible is clear about the training of children, and we'll discuss that in a future lesson. However, this is also a topic that needs to be discussed prior to committing ourselves to someone for the rest of our life. What if one partner comes from a home where spanking or corporal punishment was common, and the other doesn't believe in corporal punishment? These things need to be discussed and a decision reached before entering marriage, not after. How about this one? How will we manage the money and pay the bills? The handling of money in marriage is critical to a happy home. You know, while we'll spend an entire lesson on this as well, it needs to be addressed here. How do we manage our finances now as individuals? Do we use credit cards or not? Are you currently in financial debt? Will that debt be brought into the marriage or settled prior to marriage? What types of behaviors are characteristic of how each of you manages your money now? Money management is about behavior, not amount. We'll talk more about that later. So you got to be willing to be transparent with your partner when it comes to money. And these questions need to be discussed and answered before you get married. Number 8, how will we approach special times of the year, such as Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, and vacation? Culture and how you were raised has a huge impact on this question. Holidays, vacations, birthdays, these are all special times in a person's life. Many family traditions have been established around one or more of these events when we were growing up. When we get married, all these traditions are brought into the new relationship. So how will we mesh them together if they're not the same? For example, where will you spend Christmas each year? How will you celebrate Christmas? How about Thanksgiving? Where do you like to go on vacation, the mountains or the beach? Believe it or not, these are all things that can cause major ripples in a marriage. Talk about them now so they don't cause trouble later. And then finally, number 9, what involvement will our families and friends have in our lives after marriage? Many marriages are made difficult or even ruined because of a misunderstanding of the place family and friends should play after marriage. When a man and woman decide to get married, they're forming their own family unit. Remember, two becoming one, which will take priority over every other relationship. Does not mean that we have no relationship with family and friends. However, family and friends play a different role in our lives once we're married. And we'll discuss this in detail later. So in conclusion, when two people become one, a lot takes place. And there's going to be a lot of change. These questions we've just discussed are all very practical aspects of life that, quite often, are never considered or even thought about prior to marriage. Each one of these can cause issues as our marriage progresses if we're not prepared. So take the time to discuss them all. Make sure there's common understanding of what the expectations are going to be once you've tied the knot. Next time, we're going to attempt to answer the question, are you actually ready to get married? We'll talk about maturity. We'll talk about things that let us know we are ready or maybe we should wait. So that's what we'll do next time. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for giving us your word to be our guide. Please continue to use your word to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you guys have a great day, and I hope these things will be a real help and a blessing to you. Please send me a text, email me, bill@billcrockett.com, if you have questions or need to discuss something, and I appreciate you listening.